This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So, yes, the old saying goes, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But that's not the same as saying, even if it ain't broke, why not try to improve it? That seemed to be the thinking behind a major recommendation recently made by the State Education Commissioner. Mitchell Chester has encouraged the State Board of Elementary and Secondary Education to replace Massachusetts' nationally regarded academic standards in favor of a new uniform set of national standards called the Common Core. Critics cried out, saying Massachusetts' academic standards are higher than most others around the country, and our students rank near the top of the nation in educational achievement. The state standards ain't broke, so why try to fix them with a new rubric that might be less rigorous than what we already have? To which Mitchell Chester replies,
I would not be recommending this if I had concerns that this would be dismantling any aspect of what's good about Massachusetts schools. I am very confident that this, in fact, is going to be a tremendous resource and will help to move us forward, will be an added value to the strong foundation that we've laid in Massachusetts.
In other words, state standards ain't broke, but why not try to improve them? But would adopting a new set of national standards really be an improvement here in Massachusetts? Those so-called Common Core standards emphasize college and career readiness, not specific content. So is that a good or a bad thing for students? And after more than a decade of MCAS tests and strengthened state standards, should Massachusetts jettison state educational requirements for something new? Join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also find us, as always, online at wbur.org/Boston. Well, I'd like to welcome into the Radio Boston studio Sandra Stotsky. She is a member of the Massachusetts Board of Elementary and Secondary Education. They are the board to which Mitchell Chester made his recommendation and will be voting on Wednesday regarding these new national standards. She's also a member of the advisory board for the Center of School Reform at the Pioneer Institute. Sandra Stotsky, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you.
Also with us is Tom Pizant. He is former superintendent of the Boston Public Schools. He was there from 1995 to 2006. He was also Secretary of Elementary and Secondary Education with the United States Department of Education under President Clinton. And he's currently a professor of practice at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. Tom Pizant, welcome to Radio Boston to you.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Let's just walk through basically the background here a little bit and these so-called Common Core standards. If I understand correctly, they were brought about, or the genesis of them came from the National Governors Association, and the idea was to come up that the states would come up with some sort of common set of standards by which schools could be assessed and teaching could be done. So can you, Sandra Stotsky, can you take us a little bit through what the Common Core standards are right now and how you think they actually differ from what we have in Massachusetts?
I'll be happy to, and you can cut me off when you need to. Let me first say that I speak as the person who helped to supervise the development of all of the standards we have. I was in the Department of Education from 1999 to 2003 as the Senior Associate Commissioner. I also wear an academic hat and speak as an academic. I'm a professor at the University of Arkansas in 21st Century Teacher Quality. So my remarks are based upon my academic analyses of these standards in addition to my civic perspective. Common Core's readiness standards are, to me, a step backwards, not just for this state, but for all the other states that adopt them, because they actually do not, at the high school level, prepare students for authentic college-level work, even though they are called college readiness standards. That is my basic problem with them. They are simply misnomered by being referred to as college and career readiness standards when they do not prepare students for authentic college-level work.
Okay, so if I can just take it back to even more basic so that people understand. So the Obama administration has encouraged those states who are considering it to adopt Common Core by August 2nd, I believe.
Right.
And these are standards that deal with English and mathematics. And they were open to public comment period. I believe some 10,000 comments were put in. But But the key thing is that some 28 states, 23 states I read, have adopted Common Core. It could go up to 40, but it's as close as we could get to having some kind of national educational standard. Thomas Paison, is that true?
Yes.
And so how do you believe that these standards then differ from what we have here in Massachusetts right now?
Let me set the context a bit. For years, we've had 50 different states developing their own standards, and there's been wide, wide variation with regard to the rigor of the standards, and appropriately so. Stotsky is saying that Massachusetts was at the top of the heap. She may not be satisfied with what we had or what are proposed in the common standards, but they were still rigorous and were leading the pack. Smallest gap between the only national assessment we have, the National Assessment for Educational Progress, between the proficiency standards in the 50 states, or among them, and Massachusetts, Massachusetts had the smallest gap. Mm-hmm. And I think that's desirable. My issue is common standards will be an incredible positive for the United States when we are competing with countries everywhere that have national standards, and not leaving to the individual states 50 different varieties and saying that, well, we've got all of our kids at a high level in terms of proficiency, but they don't because the proficiency standards are so different from state to state. So I am for it, but the rigor issue, I think, is the key debate, and making sure that these common standards will come close to what Massachusetts already has.
Do you not believe that they come close at the moment?
Full disclosure, I haven't done my own comparison, so I can't say that, but I trust the Commissioner of Education, who would not make the strong statement he has unless he had evidence that they are.
Okay, Sandra Stotsky, you believe that they do not come close.
Yes. Let me first of all say that I agree this country needs national standards. I support national standards, but I support very high national standards. And if we don't have high national standards, they are not worth the cost and the effort that is going to be going into standards that may have very negative effects on several aspects of public schooling, which is what I have been talking about in at least three papers I have prepared as analyses of the various evolving drafts, and then a final paper I am working on right now of the final draft that mm-hmm. Common Core has come up with. It is not the best set of standards worthy of the name of being national standards.
Okay, so where really then does it fall short in comparison to what we have here in Massachusetts? I'm not quite clear on that specifically.
Let's briefly take mathematics, and I am not a mathematician, so I don't want to speak to details about a subject I am not an expert in. At the high school level, there is something called a college readiness line. It's not exactly clear where that line is. Mathematicians debate it. It's not explicit, but it is not much higher than where our MCAS tests are right now for grade 10. It's a little higher, but the point is these standards are being called college readiness standards, not high school competency standards. So we have given them, if we adopt them with the label, we're giving students a much higher academic status than they warrant by what is actually in the standards that are called college readiness standards in math. Now, English is a different issue. That's my area of expertise, coming from the field of reading and English language arts in general. And it's impossible to figure out exactly what the readiness level is. But you look at the content at the high school level, and the content is less than the content of what is in already the 2001 ELA and the revised 2010 draft, which has never seen the light of day because it was withheld for political reasons.
Mm-hmm. Thomas Paison, let me ask you, I know that you said that you have faith in what Education Commissioner Mitchell Chester, his recommendation is, but do you hear Sandra Stotsky's concern that really there is kind of a gap between what the standard Massachusetts has now, what it asks of students to prove, versus the expectations or the hope that the Common Cause national Common Core national standards hope to achieve, that they actually are measuring potentially different things, college readiness versus competency, proven competency in school.
For high school. Right.
For high school.
Well, the other variable in this conversation is the wide range of expectations from the institutions of higher education with respect to what college readiness is. And what I think is important in this debate is that with national standards, not standards from 50 different states, there will be an ongoing conversation with some experience with them where there needs to be modification, where the rigor is in the middle of the pack, the high end or the low end. But if we don't get started, which I think this is all about, then we will never know, and we'll have 50 states, which is really a joke because they're in all different places and a lot of them way below what you would come close to saying as a college readiness standard.
Let me just ask you briefly just before the break here. Is this a case where, I mean, you say you want to bring everybody into line, but is this a case where everyone being brought into line means some, including Massachusetts, actually go backwards a little bit?
No, I don't buy that because we haven't talked about the assessment. Mm. The assessment is the other half of the equation here. And to the extent that the assessments are rigorous and have a substantial percentage of open response, which will be more cost effective than 50 different states trying to do it, it's a home run.
We'll get to that just after the break. That's Thomas Paizant. He is former superintendent of Boston Public Schools and a professor of practice at the Harvard Graduate School of Education. We're also joined by Sandra Stotsky. She's a member of the Massachusetts Board of Elementary and Secondary Education and a member of the advisory board at the Center for School Reform at the Pioneer Institute. We are talking about Massachusetts educational standards and whether we should drop them in favor of a new set of national standards. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston. This is Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking about Massachusetts academic standards, specifically in the K through 12 range, and whether or not the state should adopt a new common core of national standards and drop the current ones we have here in the state. Those state standards have led many to believe that Massachusetts is amongst the leaders when it comes to educational achievement. So what do you think? Is it a good idea for Massachusetts to drop maybe or change the MCAS, to change the system that got students to where they are in the state today? Is the focus on college and career readiness that could come with these new national standards the way forward in Massachusetts? And what does college and career readiness even mean to you? And here's a question for teachers in particular. If these new standards emphasize teaching skills required for college, not necessarily content, would you even know how to teach those skills? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. I'm being joined in the studio by Sandra Stotsky. She's a professor of education reform at the University of Arkansas and a member of the Massachusetts Board of Elementary and Secondary Education. That is the board that on Wednesday is going to be asked to decide to vote on whether or not to adopt new national standards here in Massachusetts. I'm also joined by Tom Paizant. He is former superintendent of the Boston Public Schools and formerly secretary for elementary and secondary education with the United States Department of Ed under the Clinton administration. Now, Sandra Stotsky, let me ask you briefly. There seems to be a fundamental philosophical difference in what these new national standards seek to achieve versus what we've had for roughly 17 years here in Massachusetts. And that's this question of defining or getting students ready year by year for college or career readiness. Why isn't that a potentially good way to reassess or rethink our standards for education?
You're asking why a skills-based framework wouldn't be better. The problem is twofold. Skills are not the basis for an academic curriculum. Number one, by definition, they cannot generate academic standards. And they do not provide the content, because of that, they do not provide the content basis for the knowledge that students need for authentic college-level work or for serious career-level work, because there may be some similarities there. Skills simply have no research base to support them as well. This is a second reason. There is no evidence anywhere here elsewhere in other countries, that a skills-based framework will produce desirable curricula and academic achievement for K-12.
Is that just because it's harder to measure? I mean, MCAS, for example, measures specific content.
Skills are empty. They're generic. Find the main idea and supporting details. You can supply it to an analysis of the Three Little Pigs. You can supply it to Moby Dick. What makes all the difference in the world is the nature of the content that you are applying the skill to. And it's how you shape that content through the grades that makes for a coherent curriculum that prepares students for college.
We've got a lot of callers who want to join us on this. Emily is calling from Worcester. Welcome to Radio Boston, Emily.
Hi, Meghna. I am currently a teacher at St. Bernard Central Catholic High School in Fitchburg. I have taught in the Worcester Public Schools. I have taught in the Wachusett Regional School District. So that's been urban, suburban, public, and now private schools. I have two questions. One is, if we do adopt national standards, and I do agree that we do need national standards. I've lived in Europe, and I've seen what national standards look like. I do agree that we do need to start somewhere. And that means making all of these low-lying states that are 2, 3, 4, 5 years behind where Massachusetts and other top states are, they need to catch up with us. I'm wondering if we adopt these national standards, would it be okay to kind of ignore them for a while and continue on at our high level until the lower states catch up with us? And then as the bar gets raised because they are progressing and meeting more worldwide standards, would we then move up?
Emily, that's a great question. And if I understand correctly, in the sort of big pie of this national standards system, Massachusetts would have the option of tailoring some 15% of what it does to address where it thinks these national standards fall short. But Tom Paison, your thought on Emily's suggestion that we adopt them and kind of then wait for everyone to catch up to us.
I don't think we can have the conversation in two separate buckets, one being what students should know and be able to do against a set of standards in academic areas. And two, what kind of assessments are you going to use to determine what they've learned and to what extent the level is high, middle, or low? So the design of the assessments have to be aligned with what you're trying to use to determine the extent to which, and this is important to go to my colleague's point here, what students have learned, but most importantly, a good assessment requires students to be able to demonstrate how they can apply what they've learned. And so the strength of assessment, along with the strength of standards, both national in nature, could be a huge step forward for this country.
But that's kind of the open question here, because I believe that Education Commissioner Mitchell Chester says that they don't yet know, for example, if MCAS, in terms of state assessments here, would have to be changed. So who in Massachusetts here, do you, Tom Paison, see that we can't really adopt Common Core without knowing in advance how these assessments are going to be done? I mean, we have to know by August 2nd, don't
we? Look, the original standards-based framework that evolved in the early 80s had these components: clear expectations about what students should know and be able to do, access for teachers and learners to rigorous curriculum and content, and assessments of two kinds. The kind of assessment that good teachers have been doing for years of giving students some assessments along the way to see how they're doing, what's going well, what's not, and then the end of the year kind of assessment, which is used for accountability purposes. And those things all have to be aligned. This is not a new idea. What we're arguing about is whether the 50 states, with wide variations in their view about rigor, should continue to do this, or if we're going to compete with nations internationally, we need to have national standards that are rigorous and assessments that will measure correctly in order to get our students to where they need to be successful with some kind of post-secondary education.
Okay, let me throw this question to both of you, actually. Because Tom Paison, you've said this a couple of times, how do we compete as a nation in the global marketplace if we don't have some kind of national standards? But really, at what point in time do those national standards, I think this is what maybe people in Massachusetts care and are concerned about, clash with the standards that we already have? I mean, that's kind of the open question here. Should we be even temporarily, potentially sacrificing, reducing our own standards for the good of the nation? Sandra Stotsky.
I don't think we should. This is actually not the framework within which to view the issue. Massachusetts Board of Education is not voting for the good of the country. It's voting on what's good for Massachusetts. That's its obligation by statute. It is designed to take care of the students in the state who are already about number one in the country. And the question is whether these standards will further promote their being number one. They don't have to be number one, but will further promote academic achievement at a higher level for all students. And this is the other issue that needs to be addressed. Massachusetts standards for the past 10 years at least have indeed increased the achievement of all groups of students.
In the state.
In the state. All groups, all demographic groups. This is not the common experience of anything else going on in most other states. We certainly have no evidence that what Common Core is proposing will do that, because they're proposing a framework which, as I indicated, has no research base, has standards that are not internationally benchmarked to begin with, which ours are. So the question is, why should we risk or sacrifice the achievement of all students in this state for what is going to happen in a number of other states which require attention? No one is denying that, but the question is, do we sacrifice our students for all other students?
Tom Paysan, your response to that.
Well, I agree that the way the Constitution is set up, that it is a responsibility of the states to take what is necessary to have public education work. We're not talking about federal government standards here, but we are talking about the states, the governors and others coming together and saying, yes, we each have our own state point of view, but we are a nation, and we are compared with other nations in a global economy that changes the conversation. And 50 different states just going off in their own direction is not going to be in the nation's interest.
And
if we step back and say, well, this is all about Massachusetts, let's just worry about us, that's very parochial in this day and age to take that point of view. As long as we can make the case that the standards are high, and nobody's willing to talk about the assessments yet, but that is going to be a critical issue. Are there going to be 40% open response as on the MCAS? I hope so. And maybe we'll have another debate when we see what the assessments look like, and maybe you'll be convinced then.
Well, there's also another area where state and national interests overlap, and that has to do with money. And I want to get to that in just a second, but I do want to get to more callers who want to join us. We are talking about Massachusetts academic standards, educational standards in the K-12 arena, and whether or not the state should adopt a new Common Core of national standards instead of our current state ones. We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Sergio's calling from Rockport. Welcome to Radio Boston, Sergio.
Hello. Thanks for taking my call. I'd like to make a quick point. I'll take it off the air. As a student myself in higher education as well, it seems to me that in Massachusetts we have a very elevated high standard, as we all know. The fact of the matter is that a lot of the teachers spend much of their time teaching to the MCAS. So it makes you wonder whether our standards are actually somewhat artificial, in that lowering our standard, how far are we actually lowering it if we have somewhat of an artificial high standard to begin with, when so many of our teachers spend their time teaching to pass the MCAS? And I'll take my comment off the air.
Sergio, thank you for your call. We'll pick that up in a second, but let's also get another call in here from Mary. She is in Andover. Welcome to Radio Boston, Mary.
Thank you so much for taking my call. I am a teacher, and I really appreciate the previous comments from the previous caller. It's what I struggle with. I have a love-hate relationship with these types of tests, whether on a state or the national level, for two particular reasons. One, if you read the scores posted for the communities in the state of Massachusetts, the wealthier communities are always at the top, the poorer communities are always at the bottom. And I also lose about two solid weeks of interaction time with my students to administer these tests. So time that we could be spending interacting, or spending having them, you know, go through these examinations when we already give them very, what I consider, rigorous assessments of learning and achieving. So I'm hoping to hear your two guests comment on that problem of the socioeconomic spread between who succeeds and who doesn't on these examinations, and you know, before we make a decision about choosing national standards over state standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll also take my comment off the air. Thank you.
Mary, thank you so much. So, Sandra Stotsky, we've got two callers here, obviously they have very specific concerns about the assessment part of things. And it doesn't sound to me like under Common Core, if we were to adopt them, that assessments would even go away. They're still part of what the
standards.
There
will be even more. What people don't understand is that if they don't like tests now, they're going to find that there's even more tests to dislike in the future. There will be an array of different kinds of tests, but there still will always be an objective test because there has to be one in the whole mix. So the issue is not whether we test or not test. That is not the issue really here. What will be on the test, and I agree there are concerns about the construction and format of the tests, but we don't know what they are. That's the unknown. They will be based on these standards, and our question is, are these strong enough standards that we would want national mm-hmm. tests based on them?
So the last issue that I want to touch on very briefly in the 2 minutes that we have left is that, Thomas Paizant, you brought up this issue of what's in the national interest, and part of what's in the national interest is that Secretary of Education Arne Duncan and President Obama have put $4 billion on the table in their Race to the Top program, and Massachusetts has applied for some of that money, some $250 million, and one of the reasons why many people think Common Core, these new national standards, are on the table now as a possibility in Massachusetts is that part of the Race to the Top funding is potentially contingent on us adopting these national standards. So do you think that that really is playing a role here, that it could actually be good for Massachusetts because we might get $250 million for educational funding?
Oh, I certainly think it's a factor, and it was an intentional one that the Secretary and President decided would be a good lever for pushing reform. And I don't think that's a bad idea as long as we keep some balance between formula-based allocation of resources, as we have with federal legislation before, and what we're talking about in Race to the Top.
Mm-hmm. Sandra Stotsky, you, I believe, are going to be one of the people who's actually voting on this on Wednesday. Is that going to be part of the calculus that you bring to the table when you choose how to vote?
No, I really don't consider the money the major issue. I know that it's driving all of this for cash-starved states, but I don't think money should be driving what we see as the quality of the academic experience we offer all of our students, because the money is not the solution. Part of that is the empirical answer that we have no research to suggest that the more money you throw out the window at educational reform, the higher the results. Doesn't work that way.
Hmm. Well, there's much to be said and decided between now and Wednesday. We'll find out how the board votes on Wednesday. But that is Sandra Stotsky. She is a member of the Massachusetts Board of Elementary and Secondary Education. She'll be voting on Wednesday on whether or not Massachusetts should adopt new national standards. She is also a professor of education reform at the University of Arkansas. Sandra Stotsky, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you very much for inviting me.
And I was also joined by Tom Paizant. He is former superintendent of Boston Public Schools. He was there from 1995 to 2006, and he's currently a professor of practice at Harvard's Graduate School of Education. Tom Paizant, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.